I want to ask a very personal question. As that chorus was sung, how many of you felt like you were supposed to be dancing? Come on, fess up. I don't know how you can keep from dancing as we praise God with all that we are, allowing our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength to be touched, to be transformed. Now, having asked you a personal question, I'm going to ask you one more personal question, and that is, how many people in here consider themselves prayer warriors? Fess up. Come on now. I need you. And I'm asking this for a real reason. Okay. And the reason I'm asking is, anytime we have somebody come to the altar, I want to make sure that two or three are gathered right there in His name. So what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to allow the Spirit to lead you. Don't wait for the preacher to get up here, okay? Yeah, I'm going to try to get here, but at the same time, don't wait for the preacher to get here. Let's make sure that if someone comes and kneels in prayer, that we've got two or three others that come and are right there to pray with them. Okay? You're going to cover me, right? But even better, you're going to cover Jesus. You're right there. Okay, having said that, our scripture lesson today comes from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We're just picking out four verses. And it says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Isn't that an interesting word? Testing. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And a man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today I want us to talk about and to be thinking about what it means to be too busy to help. What a terrible title. Too busy to help. And I ask that because, and I say that because time is such a tough concept to grab. Even as Patty was talking about with our youngsters, when you begin to think about time as a young child, you realize time is so slow. I mean, my birthday, it'll never get here. And don't even begin to talk about Christmas. I love that answer. I could not have scripted a better answer. When's Christmas? It's 500 years from now. That's a kid's understanding of time. And then when you get to that place of being a young adult and you start looking at and trying to make plans, you know, I only started planning 5 years ahead of time for my driver's license. I think I marked off the days for almost 5 years. And then you have college. You may even have that sense of, wow, someday I may even get married. Nah. And then the next thing you know, it's middle age. And you realize, I don't have any time. There is none available. I mean, was it that it took me so long to get to the top of the hill that now I suddenly realize I'm already on a roller coaster and I'm screaming as I'm falling off the other side? And then God does something else to us. Then we get older. You know, I'm so tired of my doctors who everything that happens in my life right now, I really shouldn't go into this. What was it? A year and a half ago? It was Christmas whenever it was. Was that 2 years ago now or a year and a half ago? I got a wonderful Christmas present. It's called a detached retina. And you know what my doctor had the audacity to say? Why did that happen? Because you're old. I pinched a nerve in my neck. You know what my doctor told me? I'm old. And suddenly I can't believe what happened with all the time that I used to have, that 500 years until Christmas was coming. Do you have a bucket list of things you want to do? Mine include two off the top. I want to go to Alaska, and I want to go to Australia. Those are two of the things that, you know, someday they'll get checked off, I think. And my wife is over there. Patty's rolling her eyes at me already. Anyway. But I got to tell you, even before I want to check off those kinds of things, there's a whole bunch of other stuff I really want to do and I really want to be involved in. Now, I'm going to find out just how Methodist we are right now. If you have your Bible with you, pull it out. Uh-oh, I see people, oh, it reached into a pocketbook. That's even better. I want you to, mine, that's my Bible too. That is it. People look at me and I say, I got my phone, I'm ready. That's it, that's my Bible. Chapter 10 of Luke. Now, when we get to verses 25 through 28, we have heard about those, but 29 and following is a scripture that I think you and I probably know about as well as any. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus tells about a man that's going down the road and how that man is robbed and beaten and left for dead. And a priest comes by and doesn't help him. How a Levite passes by and doesn't help him. And then a Samaritan man comes along and reaches out to a foreigner and helps him out. And Jesus uses this story to illustrate the point about being a good neighbor. And I got to tell you, it's an absolutely wonderful story. But the thing that we sometimes forget is that there was a setup to that story. And the setup to that story is extremely important for you and for me because it talks about a lawyer, a teacher of the law, a teacher of Scripture, who comes to Jesus and speaks to him. And he says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus simply says, "What's written in the law? How do you read it?" Isn't that interesting? Jesus' first point is, I want you to go back to Scripture. I want you to participate in Scripture. I want you to be actively involved in Scripture. Read it and tell me what you hear. Tell me what you see. And the man answers, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus tells him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." I still want us to go back up to that wonderful question at the first. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And that's why Jesus gives us that story of the Good Samaritan. That was the reason for it. And And I have to realize, as a teacher of the law, I really think this teacher, this lawyer, was looking for what are the technical aspects of being neighbor? Do I really have to connect to people? But I got to tell you, in the first place, I really think that first question, what must I do to inherit eternal life, is a very sincere question. It's a very honest question. But I also think the lawyer was just as busy as you and I are. And he's looking for a shortcut. He's looking for that latest app that's going to allow him to move quickly and get something done. He's trying to say, I don't have time to sort it all out. I don't have time to be personally involved either in Scripture or in life. So just give me the hack that's going to get me there all by itself. So I don't really have to do everything that I just told you about. What do I have to do, Lord? Because I'm too busy to sort it out for myself. And I think with Jesus' answer, he tells us it's a matter of our priorities. We already have it right. I'm not telling you a thing this morning that you don't already know. I'm not trying to share with you anything that is earth-shattering, something that in your own minds, in your hearts, in your life, you don't already know. We already know. It's about giving our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength unto our Lord and loving our neighbor as ourselves. In other words, it's all about living the things as we ought to do. And that's a wonderful, wonderful answer for us. And so I really want us to spend some more time talking about what should matter to us. Because I need to hear that all over again, because I know I find myself at times too busy on little stuff. I find myself allowing my mind to run off on little things that in the final analysis really don't add up. I had a former DS that had a wonderful way of telling us. He kept telling us time and time and time again, I want you to keep the main thing, the main thing. So what is the main thing for our lives? Love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the main thing. I find that if I want to do the main thing, then I have to focus on three relationships in my life. I have to keep these three relationships in focus. And number one is my relationship with God. I have to keep my mind and my heart focused in upon my relationship with God. Number two, I have to focus in upon my relationship with others. And then number three, I have to focus in upon my relationship with our culture, with our community. And I want us to start at the very top today. And the reality is, we're actually going to spend 3 weeks talking about these relationships. Today, I simply want us to focus in on our relationship with God. I got to tell you a little something of my story. And this part of the story actually starts in 1980. I've just finished seminary. I came back to North Carolina and took my very first appointment in the North Carolina Conference. As I always tell people, that's back when the conference trusted me. How do I know that? Because they let me have 4 churches all at the same time. They don't trust me anymore. I only get to be with 1 church at a time now. They just don't trust. But I had 4 churches at that time. And the smallest of those four churches, won five evangelism awards all across our southeast jurisdiction. How did they do it? It was a little church of 33 people. And we were sitting in a meeting one night and saying, there's got to be ways that we can share the salvation of Jesus Christ with those around us. You know, there's only 33 of us. How are we going to do this? And somebody finally says, you know, my husband doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then the next thing I knew, two more people popped up and said, well, my son doesn't know Jesus as Lord. And my daughter doesn't. My aunt doesn't. And the next thing I knew, we suddenly had a list of 15 people. And we said, well, what can we do to share the gospel message with them? And I'm going to show you we are Methodist. The instant answer was, why don't we have a supper? And we'll invite all 15 of them to come, and we're going to share the gospel message with them. 2 weeks after that supper, I baptized 15 new people into Christ's love. So just think about it. It took just over two people for every profession of faith. It won all kinds of evangelism awards all over the place, not only in our district, in our conference, in our jurisdiction. And the really crazy part of it was our bishop then turned to me and said, well, John, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Wilmington. And at Laney High School, they're getting ready to build 5,000 homes in and around the high school. I want you to go grow me a big church. Do you hear the falling off and the crash that's about to take place? Because John thought that as I set out to do that, that John was somehow involved in growing Bishop Cannon a big church. After the second year, where we were only bringing in about 25 or 30 people a year, in a situation where I thought we ought to be bringing in 300 people a year, I was so frustrated. I was so upset. I couldn't even walk into my own office. It was just a problem staring before me every single day of my life. Now, one thing you're going to learn about me is I am a slow learner. I can tell you that because I was in the eighth grade for 10 years. I really was. Now, admittedly, nine of them I was the teacher, but I mean, I was in the eighth grade for 10 years. And it took 9 years for me to finally hear what God was trying to tell me all along. And that is, John, you've lost sight of my power. You've lost sight of my gift. You've lost sight of the fact that I just want you out there throwing, scattering seed. I got the rest of it under control. You don't even have to worry about whether it falls on a good path or a terrible path or rocky soil or wonderful ground. Just go scatter the seed. I got the rest of it covered. How many times in our lives do we set ourselves upon a prize and realize that in the midst of that single prize, we lose sight of the very greatest prize that Jesus has to offer, and that is our relationship with Him. So I just want to ask us something. In the busyness of our lives throughout the summer, can we set as our number one priority the growing of our relationships with Jesus Christ day by day? How are we going to do it? Maybe you're going to open your Bible first thing tomorrow morning and use it to start your day. Maybe you're going to decide that I need to spend more time talking to Jesus. I need to spend more time listening to Jesus. Maybe you're going to do it as you come and you help out in Vacation Bible School all this week. What a wonderful way to grow deeper with Jesus day by day. I don't know how you're going to choose to deepen your relationship, but I do ask us, may we be focused in upon the real prize of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we truly can give Him our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and that day by day, we grow ever closer to Him. What are you going to do this week to grow your relationship with Jesus? Have you got something in mind yet? Have you got a way already figured out that you're going to grow deeper this week? I pray you have. I pray I have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.